This weekend, we celebrated the birthday of our country. But as we celebrated our nation's birth, many of us did so feeling a sense of burden. Gas prices are skyrocketing with no end in sight. The economy seems to be coming to a halt, or worse, going in reverse. Property taxes increased by how much? On a global scale, there are questions about the climate and the environment. There are questions about war and nuclear weapons. And the question as to who will be the next president only seems to exacerbate all these issues. All these things make us feel burdened in some way. These burdens have a heavy toll on us. These burdens are not simply problems of science and economics. No, these burdens tend to put stress on many aspects of our daily lives. They tend to affect us even on the level of our relationships. Some of the effects of the stress of these burdens include the high rate of divorce in our country, the widening gap between the rich and the poor. Families seem to have less and less time to spend with each other and seem to be growing more and more apart. In other words, our burdens are not just physical burdens or economical burdens, but they're spiritual burdens as well. In fact, I think some of our heaviest burdens are spiritual more than anything else. After all, when you really think about it, we're living at a time when we experience more material comfort than any other generation would have thought possible. Things that are unimaginable for other generations we enjoy today. So it's hard for us in some sense to say that we're truly suffering physically. At the same time, our spiritual burdens seem to be growing. If you don't believe me, simply walk into the Barnes & Noble, where the shelves are filled with books with spiritual answers, ranging from New Age religion to self-help psychosis. The sheer number of self-help books and television programs alone is evidence that we're suffering spiritually. And we look to every source, from New Age meditation to TV programs such as Oprah Winfrey, to pop psychologists such as Dr. Laura and Dr. Phil, to provide us with a cure. But where does this leave faith? Why are we seeking answers from politicians or Oprah or Dr. Phil rather than Jesus Christ and his church? In fact, this is the question that Pope Benedict asked us when he came here for his apostolic visitation. In today's gospel, we hear Jesus say, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." And this sounds very appealing, yet oftentimes we ignore the words of Jesus. We say to ourselves, "Well, Jesus isn't really going to pay my gas bill," or "Jesus certainly won't do my homework for me." This is certainly true, but if we look at the words of Jesus more closely, we notice that he does not say, "I'm going to take away all of your burdens so that you can run off and play your Nintendo Wii." What he says is that we're to take a rest from our burdens and to take on his yoke. He says we are to learn from him. What does this mean? Here I think the words of St. Paul from the second reading can provide us with a little bit of insight. You see, Paul encourages us to live in the spirit and not in the flesh. Now, it's important to note that Paul's not trying to make a false dichotomy where everything spiritual is good and everything material or physical is bad. In fact, that's a condemned heresy, so Paul isn't trying to go there. But he is trying to remind us that we're not only to be concerned with matters of the flesh. We're not only to be concerned with our homework or gas prices. In fact, when we obsess over these things, they have a way of taking control of us. They gain a life of their own, and they weigh us down. They become burdens. Just think of how our quest to keep up with the latest material fads frequently controls us. Rather than assisting us in building up our relationships with other people, it often leads us to compare ourselves with others. And this does nothing but ignite envy and jealousy. And as a consequence of this, we tend to give in to gossip, and we tend to polarize ourselves. We divide ourselves into camps: liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, white people, people of color, rich, poor, men, women, gay, straight, you name it. These are all burdens that are created when we live in the flesh. These are the burdens from which I believe Jesus is asking us to rest. You see, Jesus wants to free us from the power of divisiveness created by our living according to the flesh. He wants to give us rest from the burdens that we ourselves create. Instead, he wants us to take on his yoke, his burden. He wants us to live according to the Spirit. And he makes no qualms in saying that this will also be a burden, but it's a light burden, much lighter than the burdens we create for ourselves. This is because living according to the Spirit involves helping others carry their burdens. That's the burden that Jesus asks us to bear. And it's a burden that he himself bore. It's the burden of helping others. You see, it was a burden for Jesus to be confronted by people asking him to perform miracles and to heal them when he really wanted to spend time with his friends. And I'm sure it was a burden for him to preach the good news to the poor while enduring the taunts of the rich. But by taking on the burdens of the poor and the lame, Jesus showed his unity with all people. And it's the unity among people that makes Jesus' load so light. Rather than polarizing people into camps, Jesus calls us all into one camp, into his camp. In this camp, each person becomes concerned not with their own needs, but with the needs of others. It's a camp where we have been freed from the fear of not meeting the expectations of other people. It's a camp where we have been freed from the fear of not having the possessions that other people have. It's a camp where we have been freed from worrying that the Joneses' lifestyle may soon surpass our own. Jesus tells us to give these burdens a rest. Instead, he asks us to share in the burdens of one another. He instructs us to help lighten the load of our neighbors and to make their yoke easier. And this can be done in several ways. It may be as simple as being a friend to somebody who's in need of a friend by offering them a smile or by conversing with them. It may mean visiting the homebound or somebody who can't get out, who's lonely, who's depressed. It may mean helping people who are struggling financially to make ends meet. Whatever it is that we do in order to lighten the burdens of others, there's an irony involved. Because when we do this, we also make our yoke easier. In helping others with their burdens, we find a freedom that is far greater than the freedom which we celebrated this weekend. What we find is the freedom to live in unity with all people as children of God.